Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable panel for this Thursday morning. It is the 12th of January. Very nice to have you with us. And let me introduce the panel, and then we'll get to your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. That's how you write to us. Panel at WAMC.org. And obviously, we'll get to the topics for today. And as yesterday, there are many of them. So we will get started in just a moment. But first, we have Dr. Alan Chartok here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe. Great to see you. I hope you're feeling well.
I'm feeling great.
Everybody's got the cold, you know.
I'm feeling just fine. Rosemary Armeo is here, and she is the director of the journalism program at the University at Albany in Albany, and it's a great pleasure to have you here. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And it's a wonderful coincidence that would be where it
Albany.
Is.
Yeah.
It's amazing
yeah.
how
yeah.
that worked out.
Could have been in Saugerties, for example.
And you're this close to Gilderland, actually, so it could be. And, our good friend Ira Fussfeld is here. He is the publisher emeritus of the Daily Freeman, and we're thrilled that he's here. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. It's very nice to be back.
Well,
we'll see.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, we'll take care of that. Well, good morning, and here we go. We have a lot to talk about. A lot happened over the last 24 hours from when the last time we talked, and I guess the top story, I don't guess, I think the top story still is the press conference that the president-elect gave yesterday. He spoke for about an hour and 12 minutes, Rosemary told me. He didn't speak for that whole time, but that's how long the event was. We heard from the vice president-elect. We heard from his head of communications, Sean Spicer. We heard from his lawyer about the divesting of his properties. And then, of course, we heard from him and from the reporters who were trying to ask many, many questions at one time. Now, there were a lot. So there were key moments of the press conference. Let me just go over a couple of them. The news that came out as far as hacking, he said, I think it was Russia. That was really the first time he had actually said that, of put hacking and Russia in the same sentence. However, later in the news conference, he wavered slightly when pressed on the matter, but you don't know that. It could have been others also, he said, when asked why he had been so critical of American intelligence. He also criticized harshly the publication of unverified reports that claimed Russia had salacious information about his behavior and finances, saying that I think it was disgraceful, quote, disgraceful that the intelligence agencies let any information that turned out to be so false and fake out. And he seemed untroubled by other intelligence reports that have been made public, which said Russia preferred him over Hillary Clinton, and saying, if Putin likes Donald Trump, guess what, folks? That is called an asset, not a liability. When asked whether he had a message for Mr. Putin, Mr. Trump said he shouldn't be doing it. He won't be doing it. Russia will have much greater respect for our country when I am leading it. I could go on and on here, but he talked about the divesting, that he would not divest from his vast business holdings as he takes office. Instead, the president-elect will turn over the operations and controls of those operations to a trust controlled by his eldest sons, and he can't talk to them about it, but he can watch television coverage that has to do with it. Isn't that what he said? Am I correct on that? All right. And then repeal and replace when it comes to Obamacare. He also made news by naming David Shulkin as the head of the Department of Veteran Affairs, and
we're going to build the wall.
We're going to build the wall
because he doesn't want to wait.
And if Mexico will pay for it, we're going to negotiate with them. And if it's a payment or it's something else, it doesn't matter. They're going to pay us back. We're not going to pay for it. We're just going to get it done because I don't feel like waiting.
Correct.
Okay. And then finally, and probably one of the most, I assume you all talked about this in the media project, but when one of the most disturbing parts that at least I found at the press conference, Mr. Trump got into a shouting match with Jim Acosta of CNN, who tried to press the president-elect into taking a question. Since you're attacking our news organizations, can you give us a chance, Mr. Acosta asked, to which Mr. Trump replied, your organization's terrible, and don't be rude, before dismissing the request once and for all. You are fake news.
And I am not giving, in quotes, you a question.
CNN was the first to report that Mr. Trump and President Obama had been briefed by intelligence officials on the uncorroborated documents, but the network did not publish them.
Wow.
Where do you want to begin, kids?
Wow.
Well, I thought the headline, and there were a number, any one of those could be a headline. I thought the most significant issue that continues to bubble with Trump is this distrust with the intelligence agencies, our intelligence agencies. So him throwing out the word Nazi Germany in relation to these intelligence agencies. These are agencies that are working on behalf of the president and the United States, and for him to besmirch them and to put in doubt in the minds of Americans and our allies around the world that these people cannot be trusted is terribly damaging and has got to be rectified, and perhaps it will be when his own people are in place. But for right now, I just think that of all of these other things, and they're important, this is the one that is the most weighty of them.
Well, don't you think, Ira, that his attack on the First Amendment, which this was, make no mistake, was even worse? I mean, in terms of this country and its traditions and its ability to operate as a democracy?
Well, it's hard to rank them, isn't it?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, that could be 1A, 1B.
I want to go back to the point I made yesterday. I wish Teresa were here so I could re-debate it with her.
You don't
I
want
think
me
we
here?
Should. No, not at all.
No, she'll, I be, think back. We she'll need, be back tomorrow.
And we'll bring this up. I think we need to eliminate these White House. This wasn't even the White House, but you know what I mean. White House press conferences. It was not a president. We did not get to see his voice. We got to see, again, Trump the showman, starting with he corrals all the reporters into those little plastic chairs and then surrounds them with paid staffers who are cheering and applauding as he's telling the reporters what garbage they are.
Deplorable.
It was ridiculous.
To have spectators at a press conference is just...
I mean, my first reaction, I was on Facebook Live, you know, tweeting it, saying, who the heck is applauding? And that's what it was. He had the same way as an announcement. He had paid employees in. And the reporters, you're right, the multi-part questions, horrible. Journalism 101 is you don't ask that. But they're so under, you know, attack that to even be called on, they were afraid they were not going to be. So they're like packing in 3 and 4 and 5 and 18 questions at a time. Not very effective. But shout out to Cecilia Varga from ABC, who asked the question that Jim Acosta from CNN was not allowed to ask. Here's what Trump did that was really horrible. He's conflating all the media as one, like we're one big conglomerate.
Which you predicted yesterday.
I did predict it because it's so, we messed up. BuzzFeed should not have printed the whole golden shower thing. It is now really suspect. The Reddit and 4chan, we had a listener who mentioned this to us yesterday, are saying, oh, we invented it. Ha ha ha, we got you. They should never have printed it, but they did. And CNN, which did accurate and very good reporting and did not get into the details of a memo that is suspect, was portrayed by Trump as doing fake news and garbage. He called them garbage and fake news, and I'm not going to call on you and all that. So he is conflating all the media into one. And we need to stop press conferences. They're not good for the press. They're not good for the people. What did we learn? He's not going to divest. We knew that. What
well,
did have we learn
stopped
from
press
that
conferences,
news conference?
How do we question him?
The same way we do. You yell questions at him when he's
at the helicopter.
Yeah,
no, Rosemary.
Or let him come. He talks to the media all the time.
Rosemary, I just think you're wrong. I think a
I
great.
Know you do.
Well, okay. So I just think a lot of news came out of this yesterday. People were able to see for themselves what this guy was all about. They were able to see the manipulation. I mean, I think the idea of, okay, I'm not going to have a press conference. I'm not going to. Okay, you got me. I'll give a press conference. And then he puts his lawyer up there for, what, 40 minutes?
40 minutes.
Something like that to take the time up.
Well, you're wrong, Alan. We see him because we don't like him. But his followers and many people who don't care about politics saw a very slick show that he controlled and ran. It was not a real image of him.
Okay. Well, I take some exception to the concept of wrong, but because, you know, that's...
Because you never are.
Well, because it's man-shaming. So...
There's no such thing.
Oh, that's right.
How many women are on this cabinet?
A lot. Well, it's you.
No.
Not the round table. How many women are on the president's cabinet?
I don't know.
Two.
No. So, okay. But that, what does that have to do with saying you're wrong?
That you can't mansplain men. They just control everything.
I get
it. I can get in a few shots.
She was not wrong, but we disagree. Is that better?
Okay.
Yeah, but I think that there should be press conferences. I don't think there should be press conferences under the conditions that yesterday's was.
And how would you control that, Ira?
I think we're going to see. If we can't control it, then the press is really going to have to decide whether they want to show up at these things.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that the issue?
They'll show up.
Well, somebody will show up.
They have to show up.
Fox will show up.
They'll all show up.
Breitbart will be there.
They have to show up. They don't have any choice. Can you imagine if something big comes out of it and they're not there? It's ridiculous.
See, I would make the argument, and I'll try to say the glass is half full. I believe that Trump did not hurt himself with his base yesterday because of the way he treated the press and et cetera. We don't have to get into the details. Nonetheless, his base is still a minority in this country, despite his election. There are 54% of the people in this country did not vote for him, of those who voted. And we are starting to see, I'm going to say optimistically, the bubbling of the pro-Trump, the pro-press, First Amendment, free press idea. And the more he is going to be beating up on the press at press conferences like this or elsewhere, I think it is only going to increase. I hope it is only going to increase. And we're going to hear more speeches like Meryl Streep's speech touting the free speech, free press.
Well, our fund drive is going to be dedicated to First Amendment. There's no question. No question about it. That's what we're going to be talking about. But one thing I wanted to mention on the media project, Ira, which I wasn't able to before, is that no matter how much credit we give Trump for getting it all over, for orchestrating this kind of a press conference, for triangulating against his enemies and all the rest, his numbers, his polling numbers, are going down precipitously.
It's 37% going in. He's not even in yet, and he's at 37%. There is going to be no honeymoon. There has been no honeymoon, and his favorability numbers are going down.
And those numbers are specifically, if you look at the numbers of the people who supported and voted for him, almost half those people have jumped out.
Yeah, there is a lot of buyer's remorse.
That's really interesting.
I don't believe in polls anymore, so we'll see. I want to talk about divestiture. Which I think was the most important thing, more than the intelligence stuff. He's not divesting.
Can I pause for a second? Because we had this discussion in the media project. Can't argue with you about that could be the most important. Can't argue with me that the Nazi thing could have been most important. If Alan had another thing, maybe the health care, that was the most important. So their media can disagree and not necessarily be wrong as to what is important.
Is that mansplaining? I'm getting
I'm not pointing to you.
It's mansplaining.
No, I think. Well,
okay. Anyway, divestiture. He's not going to divest. He had his lawyer, who I thought did a great job for him, made it sound like he was making a big sacrifice. I don't believe any of this, but I think, again, it was all a show. A big sacrifice. I'm going to donate the money that I get to the Treasury. How, by the way, would we know that he has a private closed company? You're not allowed to see where his bookings come from. How would we even know that? I'm doing more than the Constitution requires. Every ethical constitutional lawyer, ethics expert and constitutional lawyer talked to on the media census said that is all baloney. He is not obeying the law. So my question is, so what? What's going to happen to him?
Well, and as he said at the very beginning, nothing. I can do this. There's nothing I can do this. And everything that I am putting forth that is in these manila folders to my left.
Showmanship.
Right. This is what I'm doing. That's an added bonus.
Right.
Because
I'm doing extra.
Nice guy.
I could run both the country and the company. Only I could do that, but I can do it. But I'm not going to because I don't like the way it looks. Oh, my gosh.
And by the way, I want credit for having turned down a massive deal.
$2 billion deal in Dubai.
Yeah.
I think it's unbelievable.
But
by the way,
I'm sorry. I want to hear your, because I have not heard the answer to this.
Yes.
All the experts, all the constitutional lawyers say, no, he's wrong. As soon as he does this, he's violating the Emoluments Clause. So what is the penalty? Who has standing to bring a suit to challenge him?
Anybody.
Let me answer that. I think you are correct that it is violative of the Emoluments Clause. He doesn't, and you're right. The big problem is nothing's going to happen as a result of that now. But when you get to 37%, when you get to 32%, when you get to 29%, and you say the polls don't matter, I say in this case they really do. Okay.
Well, you said you don't trust the polls.
I don't trust, believe them.
Okay.
But Chris Christie is at 18 and is still launching assaults on the press.
Okay,
in,
but
in
let's say he gets to 18. Now you get the branch of the government, the United States Congress, the people who are in the United States Senate, who have a choice. They either attach themselves to this guy or they begin to ask serious, serious questions as to whether he was violative of the law. And if his constituents are calling him every day, and if they're railing at the congressman or the senator, I think, Rosemary, that's when it begins to shift.
Well, I think anybody, the ethics experts that I heard yesterday all believe that he is going to enter the office with this ethics cloud over his head and that it can be challenged and will be challenged from any number of corners. And if not within the Congress itself, it can be challenged by state's attorney generals and others who will bring cases that ethics laws are in violate or the Constitution is being violated here. And theoretically, if it continues to advance, it could lead to an impeachment. That's the bottom line, literally.
That would be
only when his numbers are lower than a hound's belly.
I don't know that it'll need that, because if the ethics people believe they're on good legal footing, they will decide that they have an obligation to the Constitution. And by the way, if it helps them politically, so be it. But they will advance these things, and it will hurt him. Much like the impending impeachment hurt Clinton. It was over his head. It was distracting. It was not good for the government. It was not good for the country. But it is something that if it is in violation of the Constitution, it cannot be looked away from.
Could be.
We'll see.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue, and we welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. You want to read that one before we go to a break?
My word for Trump's performance yesterday, and it was a performance, is unprecedented. The world must be shaking their heads and wondering, what have the American people done to their country? Please don't get hung up on the dossier issue. How about Trump's bizarre Obamacare announcement or his plan for dealing with his assets? And that's from Tom. And then one more. You folks are dangerous. I've become totally addicted to your show and watch it daily. Watch it daily. And you go do that by going to WAMC.org to watch it. Thanks for your insight and intelligence. By the way, I counted how many times Mr. Trump repeated certain words during the press conference. Great one. Being used 25
Terrific.
Times.
Magnificent.
Second was very. Used some 15 times.
Interesting.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. A lot more to talk about, not only about the press conference, but of the other hearings that were taking place on Capitol Hill yesterday and other stories. We welcome your letters panel at WAMC.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Thursday morning. We welcome your letters roundtable at WAMC.org. And when they have just arrived, the letters. We just have a brand new stack, fresh from the printer. They still smell very fresh.
Yeah,
yes,
they
yeah.
do. Hi, panel.
Not like a good old mimeograph high, but yeah.
And Rexograph.
Yeah, Rexograph.
The blue stuff. Great. Oh boy.
I never even heard of that. Well, you guys are old.
Well, the mimeograph machines where they would go around in the circle and they take.
She never heard of that.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
We are so old that I told my wife this morning when they saw a clip of Rex Tillerson on TV, I said, do you know that this guy is 5 years younger than I am? And,
wow.
and she couldn't. Yeah. She says, oh, no, this guy's got to be almost 75.
Yeah, that can't. I don't believe that.
He's supposed to be 64 years old.
Who is the senator who said, wow, he really looks like a secretary
of
state?
Oh, that guy.
Who was that?
Oh, I forget.
He's taking a lot of abuse for that, of course, shallow comment. But I'm looking at him saying, God, he really does.
Hi, panel.
Hi.
Love you all. Personally, it wouldn't surprise me if it turned out that the latest stories were fake. The stories seem very contrived. However, now that Trump is having to battle against false stories being smeared around the public arena, I just have one question for Trump. So how do you like it?
Good. All that birther stuff that he spread around for years and years, it's just unbelievable that this is the same man now decrying fake news.
Christine says, Trump is like the Wizard of Oz. Yep. Don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain. Daniel says, conversely, the press has bullied people for many years. Overall, with a leftist slant, look at party affiliation. A random thought? The game of life, sadly played with a team mentality. People act like life's sporting event, and the only goal is to win and defend your team, is narrow-minded and lazy. A fair amount of people, in capital letters, people don't think for themselves. They have pom-poms to cheer and a bullhorn to shout down the opposition. I'm not quite
okay,
sure.
Well, I know that was a shot and has a lovely extended metaphor, but I have no idea what that letter is saying.
That's two of us. Alan, were there any... Were there any questions concerning the deaths of two consecutive presidents of Ecuador who had opposed privatization of oil resources by Exxon?
No, not that I'm aware of. Nor did anybody at the presidential news conference ask about when he was going to bring lawsuits against those women who filed false, in quote marks, sexual accusations against him.
Well, the most unfortunate thing about the press conference yesterday was it was dominated by the Russian stories, mm-hmm. and the press conference had been scheduled before those Russian stories were reported, mm-hmm. and thus that was the freshest news. Had that not had the timing been different, there would have been time for a lot more more substantive stuff to be discussed.
One more reason I do not think White House press conferences are effective or useful. I'm gonna have to do a story about this.
Well, so Ira, you disagree with that, right?
Yeah, I think that if you want now, to compare Obama to Trump on any number of levels is silly. But Obama didn't have enough press conferences. But Obama's press conferences, I thought, were thoughtful, and sometimes his answers were way too long, but they were respectful, and people asked questions, and he answered questions, and information was derived. Not so much yesterday, and we're just going to have to see what it's going to be going forward.
This is The Apprentice. That's what it is. You're fired.
He ended. Those were his last lines. You're fired.
Yeah. Okay.
Showman.
But there is an argument made by one of our listeners, and I don't know, Alan may get to this letter, but I just saw it come through, of that if you give them enough rope, right? I mean, if you allow people to see more, what's wrong?
Did you just not go through 2 years of campaigning where he got all the rope he wanted, uncommentated, full airing of his...
But have we seen that? But have we seen that since November?
And you know, Rosemary, you are the supreme First Amendment person.
I am. I think we're being played.
It's one of the reasons I respect you so much.
Yeah, but we're being played. Yeah.
So stop it. Don't give him that advantage.
Well,
okay, they worked under Obama, that's fine. But
is it
not.
I guess maybe where I disagree with you is it an advantage?
Is it what?
Is it an advantage?
For who?
You're saying you're giving him an advantage.
Yes.
Is it an advantage?
Eventually
yes,
people will see it. One of the roles that the press played so well, I thought, Rosemary, is I think you're right. It was a brilliant performance. They really packaged it well. They put the lawyer on for all of that time. And so there really wasn't any time to do anything else. He did his yelling and screaming. But the next day when you read the press, particularly the New York Times this morning, they did a fabulous job of debunking most of what he said. And so that's the reason you need a press.
Well, I do agree that you need a press, and I do like what the Washington Post as well as the New York Times wrote. But that's not the news conference. It's televised. Everybody watches that.
Yeah, but the moment you say...
It's the show, and he knows it.
But, Rosemary, the moment you say you can't... don't give him a press conference. Don't allow him to have a press conference. Then what you're saying basically is we're going to limit his speech. That's what
worries
me.
Oh, no, he can have the news conference. Just don't go to it. The press needs to stay away. And we need to stop the White House correspondents.
Can you imagine if you work for a major newspaper and some news came out of that and your editor turned around to you and said, where were you?
I was here watching it on TV, and I'll have a reaction and an analysis of that in 20 minutes.
Clea says, with the release of the memo on BuzzFeed still vastly unverified, I'm convinced it's very in capital letters. Existence will make everyone with a legitimate argument to make and facts to back it up seem equally unbelievable. I'm not going to read the rest of that. The rest of it, except to say that the Columbia Journalism Review this morning came out with a major support of BuzzFeed having done that.
Whew. Boy, I don't know. I'm talking to investigative reporters. One from the Wall Street Journal said, isn't it actually close to actual malice, Ira, if you print a document that you know is filled with errors and unsubstantiated?
Well, how do you know they
knew
it?
That's almost because they wrote it in their intro to it. We're printing this. We're not. We don't make any claims. It comes from supposedly an unnamed M1 agent and blah, blah, blah. They knew that it was not reliable, and they printed it anyway. That seems to me actually to be a libelous action.
Well, and the defense was pretty weak, which was...
We want the people to decide.
You can make up your own mind on this.
Now, at the risk of alienating my friends in the room, and as Alan always says, you know how much I love and respect you all. I would include that the discussion that you guys had yesterday and you alluded to this morning about some of the content in that report also should not have been aired. In other words, you talk, I don't even want to say it because then I'll fall into the same habit.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
You discussed it. It was great for humor. We all got good laughs out of it. But we then, the panel fell into the trap of reporting what I don't think Rosemary or Alan would have reported if you had a newspaper or on WAMC.
Yeah, but
the number one sentiment I heard from investigative reporters was, I would not have printed it. They all said that. You know, I even talked to the group I work with, to my co-editor, saying, would you have put this out? Would we have put it out? We agreed, no, we would not. But we're happy it's out there.
I was going to say, you know, there's always a little bit of competition within the journalism community, right? You know, and somebody says, well, they did it and they shouldn't have done it. You know, I didn't do it. They shouldn't have done it. You have to make up your own mind. Can I just continue to read? And this is a very important letter from Doug. He says, Alan is right. We must continue. We must continue press conferences just to keep the heat on, even if they are not in the format we'd like. And yes, they'll all show up.
Oh, you are crazy if you think we had the heat on him yesterday. We did not. Okay. He played us.
John, well, there's no question that he played us.
Well, the other thing he does, unlike the press, I don't know that the press likes it so much, but in the press conferences at the White House, they've come to calling on specific people to ostensibly to avoid everybody jumping up and yelling at the same time. Right. And in a way, I don't like the fact that they can pick and choose who they call on that way. On the other hand, he does it anyway if he's going to pick, you know, point them out. And the press does look a little bit more professional when it doesn't have to jump up to try to get his attention.
Well, Sean Spicer warned that he would throw out CNN.
Yeah, well, Acosta said this morning that if he does that, CNN will still get by and we'll still report. We're not going to.
Exactly.
We're going to ask our questions.
Now, he did call in another CNN reporter, correct?
Not at the press conference.
No.
David, what happened was somebody did his question for
him. Yes.
Cecilia
Vargas.
No, but I thought I had heard that he later called in another CNN.
I don't believe so, because Sarah Murray was the other one there, and he knows who she is.
But it didn't stop Kellyanne Conway from showing up with Anderson Cooper.
Well, that's the point.
These guys, they play it one way. He rants against the New York Times. The next day you read in the New York Times. In an interview with the New York Times, in a telephone interview with the New York Times, Trump said, so, you know, that nothing means anything.
Well, you'll be interested in hearing this. Kellyanne, at one point near the end of the contentious interview, said, you know, we want to have good relations with you and CNN. And Anderson Cooper said, that would be very nice, but we don't care whether. We're not in the business of having good relations with you. We're in the business of reporting what you do. We don't care whether you're friendly to us. We just want to report what you do. So don't say we want to have good relationships. That's not what the role of the media.
I always teach my student journalists that when you ask a question in an interview and the person goes, oh, that's a very good question, tune it out. You don't want to ever hear that. You don't want approval of your question.
He said that a couple of times yesterday.
And you hear it all the time. Yeah, okay. Oh, on the question of Trump's approval rating, says John, I'm not surprised at all that Trump has none. Remember that for most voters, this election was about the lesser of two evils. A vote for a person does not necessarily mean they support that person. And the sooner our elected officials realize that, the better it will be for our country. I want to go back to this business of reward, if I can. It's not on this letter, but I've had governors call me because I've been critical and say, I see you wrote a good column about me, or I see you said something good about me. Maybe it's time to start talking, that kind of thing. You don't want to fall for that.
No, you don't. You get flowers after a story. I hated that. I would send them back. You know that you don't want approval. You want someone to say, well, I didn't like your story, but it was fair. That's the best compliment.
Hey, and by the way, sometimes they're lying about that too. Sometimes they say, I didn't like the story, but it was fair. They're trying to get over on you that way too. Yeah. Okay. Carly says, hey, just a note to the stuffy man voices. we who keep trying to pretend mansplaining isn't a thing, perhaps, please stop that. Rosemary's right. She has to...
Oh, can we read that part again?
She has to fight to get a word past Alan. Oh, pardon me, doctor, in big letters. Alan's giant ego. I generally like listening to both of you, but she's right, capital letters, about the mansplaining. And Alan's cutesy little dismissals and offensive suggestion there's such a thing as woman-splaining in a world where men hold all the mics is pushing the patience of women like us who know what it is to be put down by men
like
them.
Oh, can
them.
I have that? No, I you like may that not. One. Thank okay. you.
You're so kidding. Sound Ricky Ricardo.
Hi, panel.
Let me explain something to you.
Hi, panel. Was it me or was he still campaigning without real plans of substance? And why did Hillary come up more than once? Thank you.
Oh, that's a good question. Why does he just get off of that?
They're still running the campaign?
They are. Yeah, all the rallies and...
Trump's confrontational stance towards the media reminds me of when Jesse Ventura was elected governor of Minnesota back in the 1990s. He took a similar posture and was quickly brought down and not reelected. Of course, in that case, there was a Democratic legislature, but still, very similarly, I hope the same will happen to Trump, if not sooner than 4 years. But don't you think there's a big difference in the way in which Trump and Jesse, the body, handle themselves? I mean,
how would you describe the
difference? I think Trump's much better at it.
Yeah, he is definitely a showman. He knows spectacle.
Yeah. Joan says, living without TV, I searched for an online means to view the Trump presser yesterday. The first hit was Right Side Radio, so I stayed with it. Interestingly, all of the reporters questioned were muted. We only got to hear Trump and his cohorts.
Interesting.
None of the questions were heard. Right Side Radio seems to go along with Trump's policy to gag the press.
Let me just clarify that. So if you look at the two parts of Trump speaking, before lawyer, after lawyer. Before lawyer, they did not mic the questions at all. After, by the time she was done speaking, they seemed to get their act together and were able to mic the reporters.
So you think it was a competence issue?
I do. Yeah. I think it was not because they had the equipment and it was just getting it to where it needed to be. But so at the beginning, that certainly was the case. And I know we were running it on NPR and Robert Siegel was coming in saying, we can't quite make out the question. This is what we think.
They had a boom mic. You could see it near the
Yes. Now the boom mic came in after Prescott. So just to clarify that.
Let me say that I was aghast that they didn't have it set up in the beginning. But I don't think it was only after the lawyer. I think they got their act together relatively quickly in the first time, Joe. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay.
Well, it's interesting that he needed support. He had his three adult children. He had, of course, the paid supporters clapping and applauding. He had his lawyer, and he had Pence do the introduction. It was a very odd news conference.
What was also odd about it, and it was pointed out in a number of places, was that when Trump was not at the podium and was standing off to the side during the lawyer's talk.
Yes,
and
drinking water.
He looked very, they used the word distracted, disinterested, bored.
Well, the same way he was with Hillary in the debates.
Yeah, and that speaks, it could speak in part to what has been considered his attention span. He just can't focus unless he is at the microphone.
And this is the article I was looking for, but Wall Street Journal said that Jeremy Diamond, the CNN reporter Diamond, was called.
Oh, that's interesting.
Was called on after he went after Jim Acosta.
So he must not have known who he was.
Like I say, nothing means anything.
Yeah.
Nothing means
well,
anything.
And who's to say at the next press conference, if it comes the day after the New York Times does a story that he doesn't like, that he won't call on them?
Okay, hi, panel. Thanks again for the stimulating discussions. There's a scary scenario I dreamed up when Paul Ryan suddenly became a Trump supporter. Even if there's nothing legal that can be done about divestiture, there's still a possibility of impeachment. So if Trump is impeached, parenthesis, given how unhappy the GOP probably is with him now, Pence becomes president. He appoints Ryan as VP. After a short while, Pence goes down either because of the ideology or through violence. And guess who becomes prez? The GOP establishment gets the one it really wanted. Panel, Miss Rosemary Armeo is correct that BuzzFeed should not have released the spurious info. It helps Trump's case when he badmouths the press. And what is further helping Trump supporters is that when he unjustly makes connections to Nazi Germany, the same folks who get rightly outraged are strangely silent when the Nazi Germany gets unjustly connected with him and his coming administration. And that's from Ramon. And Rita says, isn't showmanship posturing performing a great advantage for a president in global politics? Yeah. And Ken says, I'd like to hear what you all think of Trump's predictions to referring himself in the third person. Bizarre.
There was some great Twitter about that.
They're always to be bizarre.
Yeah, everybody was referring to themselves in the third person as they were talking about.
And when Sean talks,
that was very funny.
Great, that was good.
Ira thinks that's not so unusual.
All right, let's take a break. We're late, and we'll be right back after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. And did you have more letters, Alan?
Yeah, there are a couple.
Okay, good. Let's finish those up and we'll go to another topic.
Barry says, think of every tweet and bullying comment that Trump makes about others. They really apply to him. They're a comment about his own character. I think there's a point to that. I mean, you know, think of all of the objections when people were saying that he had fascistic tendencies and Nazi tendencies and this and that, and how upset they all got. And now he raises it himself. He does it himself.
I think he does that all the time. Whenever the criticism is of others about him, he turns it on them.
Well, fake news. I mean, that was...
Can we talk about fake news for a second? Yes.
Let's just once and for all make the distinction between fake news and news stories that either they don't agree with or it might have factual errors in them. Fake news, by definition, and it's a relatively new definition, is news made up out of whole cloth. It is fiction. It is not a news story that might have an error in it or with a story with which you disagree. And him calling CNN out for doing fake news is flat out incorrect. You can agree with what they did. You can say there are mistakes in what they did, but it was not, by definition, fake news.
Rosemary saying that she doesn't believe in polls anymore is just as harmful as somebody saying that they don't believe anything on CNN anymore. That is just fake news. We should never get to a point where we blindly trust any pollster or news agency. We cannot afford to be non-critical of them. However, disregarding them all together is nothing more than cutting off our noses to spite our faces. Polling is expensive, and there are lots of great pollsters out there. It's a hard job to predict anything, but it's upon us to understand where the weaknesses in polling lie and to be more attuned to them. And that's from Liz. Okay. And then Vincent says, or Vinny, as he signs himself. Good morning, panel. The American people are smart, intelligent people. The more they see how Trump, the more they will like knowledge. The American people are smart, intelligent people, and the more they see how Trump, the more they will like knowledge. I believe in the American people, the Constitution. Unfortunately, they voted for the wrong person this time. Have a wonderful day. I love the panel, and that's from Vinny.
Thank you, Vinny. All right, let's go to a couple of other topics that we can discuss. And we do want to mention the Tillerson hearing yesterday. Rex Tillerson, Trump's pick for Secretary of State, seeks to put aside the fears about his long-running ties to Russia. He faced harsh questions from fellow Republicans on Wednesday for his close personal ties to Vladimir Putin, but a Senate confirmation as Trump's Secretary of State did not appear to be in danger. In a sometimes testy hearing before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, the former CEO of ExxonMobil Corporation, the largest U.S. oil company, calmly defended his views on global warming, human rights, and relations with Russia. The real attack dog in the hearing was Marco Rubio, who went after Tillerson in very testy questioning, and which was kind of interesting to watch, actually. What was your wants to handle the Tillerson
hearing?
I thought it was a mosquito
type approach. I mean, I don't think I like what Rubio was saying and what he was asking, but I don't think he was effective in it. And here is this bull of a guy, you know, and at the top of his corporate game, you know, answering these questions as if, you know, brushing off the mosquito from him. Now, do I think that Rubio was right? I watched with bated breath. I did. I thought it was good stuff. But I just didn't feel that he was landing. And I don't think that there is any question that he's going to be the Secretary of State.
Yeah, I think he's sailing through. I actually think both he and Sessions have been prepped to say whatever it is that they have to say. I don't think that they're being completely honest. His usual response was, I need to do some more research. I can't really say whether Aleppo is a war crime because, you know, I just don't know. And Rubio, who really did live up to that nickname that Trump gave him yesterday, little Rubio, he was like a little gnat, said, oh, it's all in the public domain. You should know about it. It was not a good performance.
Well, Rubio was beginning his presidential campaign yesterday. Jeez. So, but I thought, and Tillerson was not widely praised yesterday. Some people did not think he did well. What I saw, dare I say, I thought he was diplomatic. I mean, what good does it do for him to say to Rubio, yes, Putin is a war criminal? He's going to have to deal with this guy. He was trying to talk, I believe, in diplomatic speak. I don't think you could get John Kerry to get up there today and say Putin is a war criminal.
But a diplomat might have said, what's going on in Aleppo is a tragedy.
Yeah.
And in the view of many, a war crime. I don't know whether I'm ready to ascribe blame, especially to Putin.
I agree with that.
The other thing
that made me suspect was he said that he and Trump had not talked about Russia, which
right.
was hard to imagine.
Right. Alan, sorry I interrupted you.
No, I forgot.
Oh, good.
Oh, good.
Is that the trick to do? That's the way.
Yeah,
so
what I know. I've done that before.
So what do we have now? Who's on? We have
Sessions is finished.
Yep.
Kelly, did they finish him in one day? The Homeland Security guy. He seems like
they did labor
through.
Yesterday also.
Oh, wait, that wait. I would have
McConnell's
liked
McConnell's wife.
Oh yes. No, that's not labor. That's labor is the guy.
Oh,
who
yeah,
right.
he's the right. You're right.
She used to be labor.
Yeah, that's right. From transportation.
She goes flying through.
Yeah.
No question about it.
Well, the wife of the majority leader.
Yeah, who's
and defense chief pick is today. So.
And he'll be, but a couple of the more controversial ones have been put off. The education,
DeVos.
I believe there is two or three others that because
and
they
labor.
Hadn't
been, he's the big
and they haven't been vetted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They haven't turned in their paperwork.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we will continue. We will go on to other topics, and we'll talk about other stuff. We welcome your letters. They can simply be sent to panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org, and we will hear what you have to say. We also would love to raise here. Good. We're going to go over to a deuce break. We'll get back. Alan Chartok is here, Rosemary Armeo, and Ira Fussfeld. We will continue our conversation after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Thursday morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Ira Fussfeld making up the group. And, of course, we welcome your questions or comments or thoughts or random musings at panel@wamc.org. Alan has the last of them, and then we'll move on to other topics.
Can I read a tweet from Donald Trump? This is
sure.
a new one he put out.
Of course.
We had a great news conference at Trump Tower today. A couple of fake news organizations were there, but the people truly get what's going on.
Well, he knows what he's doing. He is a guy who is scapegoating like crazy. He's triangulating like crazy. He knows what he's doing. And it worked in the election. The question is, how much will people put up with it? I think we shouldn't discount the passion of Trump supporters, says Billy, and their reason for support, namely a different face in Washington who will make a change that benefits the citizens opposed to the government. That notion is how he won the presidency. But I foresee a huge downshift in support once their passion is squashed by his complete lack of transparency, follow-through, and, frankly, ability. The pendulum will swing back, I think, and that's from Billy. Right.
I don't think there'll ever be a lack of transparency as he defines it. As long as he has his Twitter machine and as long as he has other ways of getting out the message may not be particularly transparent, but he will be portrayed as being transparent.
But you know, Ira, I think that Billy's point here in the letter, may I read it just a moment more, which is, and the reason for support, namely a different face in Washington who will make a change that benefits the citizenry opposed to the government. I think that's right.
Yeah.
I think that's why he got the votes that he got. And that is what Democrats, progressives, and others have to keep in mind. The government has to be more than a big brother kind of thing, which is going to dictate a bunch of rules and regulations and not talk to the people and think about what their needs are.
I mean, I optimistically, the margin of this election was so razor thin in the Electoral College, and for all of the reasons that one would think that the change would be a landslide, it will not take much for this balance of power to go the other way. But he's two
but
things.
He'll be the president.
No, not necessarily. I think one, he's got to come through on all these many promises.
But you don't mean that he's not going to be the president of the United States when
I'm saying in 4 years.
Oh, in 4 years.
Yeah. I think if he does not come through on jobs and all of those things that made people in those Rust Belt states switch to him, he is not going to be reelected unless the Democrats do not play their cards right. They don't put up a good candidate, and that they don't work hard to get votes, which in some places they didn't this year.
Sandy, good morning. Just tuned in. Let's hear more about what's happening on the Hill. In other words, the trashing of the ACA in the wee hours while we sleep, less on the Orange Man and more on how the GOP is acting.
Yes, I understand it. They passed
a budget
structure that will set up the dismantling of
that's
ACA.
That's what they did. It was widely reported this
morning.
But they're in a corner, because if they don't replace Obamacare with something else and they leave a long period of time where there's nothing, which they claim they're not going to do, that's going to rile up millions of people. And if they do pass, if they do say, no, you can keep Obamacare until we come up with something different, then people who hate Obamacare will be mad because they've still got Obamacare.
Well,
they're in a box, I think.
I don't know that they are. I hope they are, but I don't know that they are. Okay, good morning. Trump's so-called press conference was nothing more than an extension of one of his yay for me, I won rallies. He needed to surround himself with people cheering him on. The media needs to step up, ask the questions, report the truth, and not be afraid to use the word lie. I agree. I mean, I had a guy call me the other day. He's lying on the air. I said, you're lying. I get four letters saying, don't call anybody a liar. Well, sometimes if somebody's lying, you got to say, you're lying, don't you?
Historically, in journalism, it's not a word we use. It's right. Because you don't know you can't read the person's mind. There's other ways of saying it, but I do think we're seeing more of that. More of journalism is switching to the use of that word, but we're very reluctant to use it because we don't know whether, in fact, it's a lie or just any other variation, something lesser.
I hear you, but to me, a lie is a lie is a lie is a lie. When somebody says to me on a Vox Pop program, you said thus and so, or Rosemary said thus and so, and you never said it. That is a lie.
If you said right now tomorrow is Saturday, are you lying or are you just misinformed?
Depends what my motives are.
Well, but then
Kellyanne Conway's thing.
Yeah, I can't say you lied.
Believe what comes out of his mouth and not look at what is in his heart? No.
Okay, so then
in my heart it'll always be Saturday.
Mark says
he has a heart. Oh, did I say that aloud? Sorry.
Oh. Mark said, yesterday's spectacle was very revealing. The Donald, in capital letters, as usual, has others speak on his behalf of him in-depth issues. His lack of knowledge and thin skin will be his legacy, but very entertaining. The country survived 8 years of G.W. Bush. I think we can endure the art of the deal, and that's from Mark in Chester. My deepest, darkest thoughts are, you may be right. And if that were the case, most of us could live with it one way or the other. Some less than others. Some who aren't going to have health care, for example. And some whose kids aren't not going to be properly educated. But okay, let's assume that. But I'm still worried about what happens in 4 years when the guy who told us that this election was going to be rigged before he was president now tells us that the next election is going to be rigged when he has 28% approval rating. What will happen then? And that's what the difference between G.W. Bush and Trump may be. That's what scares the hell out of me. And Joan says, dear panel, does Trump have to be inaugurated on the 20th or ever? Is there anything in the Constitution that prevents an elected official from taking office? Can one avoid impeachment and the result of Pence becoming president? The key sentence from yesterday's news was, quote, we're planning a great show. Love your discussions. That's what I got.
One of the letters that we got that I don't think we brought it was brought in, but I thought it was interesting, was any response to Trump's mention of Chuck Schumer and the dynamic that sets up.
Could you say that again?
Any response to Trump's mention during the press conference of Chuck Schumer and the dynamic that sets up? He was very dismissive.
Yes, he's trying to deprecate Chuck Schumer. No question about it. Now, these guys have been colleagues and friends and knew each other back in the day. And, you know, he was a rich man giving out money to everybody. So why not? However, Schumer is now the man of the hour. He is what stands between, you know, Trumpism and everything else. And how he plays his cards is going to be incredibly important, and Trump knows it. So as far as the way that he's been deprecating Schumer, it's nothing compared, right, Rosemary? It's nothing compared to little Marco or crazy this one.
Well, it's his pattern. He takes his opponent, and Schumer is clearly that, and he belittles and cuts them down and berates them.
Yes, but what I was saying is it's not as bad as when he goes after the others. He has gone after the others. He knows in the art of the deal he's going to have to work with them.
We'll see.
All right, let's change the subject. Let's talk about food for a moment.
Oh, great. My favorite subject.
The Food and Drug Administration came out yesterday with a new template for nutrition labels. One big change was the addition of a line for added sugar to be placed below a line for total sugar. The change is designed to distinguish between sugars that are naturally occurring in a food, like the milk sugar in a plain yogurt, for example, and the sugars that food manufacturers include later to boost flavors, like the evaporated cane juice in a kid's strawberry yogurt, for example. A team of researchers at the University of North Carolina conducted a detailed survey of the packaged foods and drinks that are purchased in American grocery stores and found that 60% of them include some form of added sugar. When they looked at every individual processed food in the store, 68% had added sugar. Some of these products are more obvious sugary foods, but not all. The list includes sauces, soups, fruit juices, and even meat products. The big one that seemed to come to people's attention were the spaghetti sauces that have
huge.
So much
Chinese food. Oh my God.
Thank you.
Chinese food has sugar in it?
Are you kidding? I mean, it's loaded.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And in fact,
salt and sugar.
Yeah.
Okay, no, the salt I knew.
Chinese food is about as bad. The sauces in the Chinese foods are about as bad as you can get.
So how do we feel about the labeling?
Who, me?
Anyone who wishes to answer.
Well, I think this is one of the best things that has ever happened. Because
are you a label reader?
I am. I'm on a complete no sugar, no salt diet right now. And I mean complete. And I am very concerned about, you know, what I'm eating. And you know, we're about to go to New Orleans to visit with our son, Jonas, who always takes us to the best restaurants, you know, in New Orleans. And I'm very concerned that I can, that I'm not going to get, you know, I'd be able to stay on my life-saving, life-preserving diet. And that's why I think that it's great that we're getting this help from the feds. I want to know, did they try to poison me by putting a little bit more sugar in my stuff?
I don't think that I can take a no-sugar diet and Donald Trump all at the same time.
I hear you.
I have to recuse myself. I'm not the one to talk about eating. You know, I eat much healthier than I did. And the pause now for my wife for choking as she's listening to this. But I don't eat healthily, and most of the stuff that I eat, I shouldn't be eating. And I don't know that the labels would make any difference to
me.
But that said, I don't think there's anything wrong because people do want to know what's in their food, so everything should be labeled.
So let me ask you a question: do you smoke, Ira?
No, I always said if I smoked, I would be dead 10 years. I don't smoke.
So
I do a little bit of exercise, although not nearly enough.
So you don't smoke, and you do a little bit of exercise.
Yeah.
All good. But what about sugar? If I were to tell you that North Carolina and the other guys are coming up with the dangers of sugar ingestion, we are going through an epidemic of diabetes in the United States, an epidemic of diabetes, type 2 diabetes. They're trying to do something about it. I can only salute them for it.
Oh, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but there are certain people, and sadly, I'm afraid to admit, I'm not one of them who will probably pay not much attention to it. But I think for those who need or want to know, it's important that this stuff is labeled.
Well, I had an epiphany because, you know, during the
holidays. You can be treated for that.
Yeah. And during the holidays, you know, people are very kind to WMC and they send huge numbers of amounts of sugar cookies to this place. And the one thing that will really ruin me, which is chocolate chip cookies, which I have loved. One day I just said, "You're killing yourself, Alan. It's like you were going outside, like some of the people do here, and smoking. Stop eating those things. No sugar." What? Rosemary has a
Mom, I'm going to be home in 10 minutes. Just take the ice cream out of the freezer now, please.
Yeah, but you know, when you say, I know that because I've read about it, that there is, for example, a lot of sugar in Chinese food, as you say. Yeah. You know, it drives me crazy when I hear something. I say, what can I eat? Is there any
nice
joy for
you could
me
have a nice salad.
Yes, I had. Nice. All right, well, let me tell you what I had for dinner last night. I'm sure the audience will be excited.
I
made myself a nice tossed salad, and as healthy as I thought it could be, although it did have cheese in it, and it did have meat in it, and then you pour the Russian dressing, so it's not so healthy anymore.
Yeah, no, that's right.
But I can go home and say, look, I had a salad last night.
Yeah, it still sounds good.
There
is no joy in lettuce. I don't dislike lettuce, but there is no joy in it.
No,
I'm sorry.
No joy
it is just not the same as fudge, and there's no way around that.
Erica Jung wrote a book about that.
There's
joy of lettuce.
There's nothing like a piece of lettuce. First of all, you look at it. It's green. It's nice.
And then there's kale. Oh, my God.
No, but there's nothing like a good piece of bread.
Oh, yeah, that's
true. Oh, no, bread is out.
That's got sugar.
Bread is out on my diet. No question.
How do we feel about the tax in Philadelphia? The soda and beverages.
That was the Bloomberg idea, right?
Yeah.
Except it's not in the Bloomberg was on the individual containers,
cups,
right? On the bottles. This one is when you go into the store, you're paying where you used to pay $1.50 or $2. You're now paying up to $3, $4, $5 in some cases.
How much
for
does it cost
beverages?
For a pack of cigarettes?
Because it's per ounce. It's based on the ounce. And so I'm curious of how you think about that.
I think it's probably because it ultimately costs society in general when there are people with health problems and it costs all of us to treat them. I can understand government's motivation to try to limit it by overcharging, but people make a decision as whether it's worth it. If you're asking me, if I was a smoker, I'd pay the $10 a pack or whatever the heck it is.
And they do around here.
Yeah.
Misguided people. But by the way, James called in and wrote in and he said, "The 10,000-year-old man had the best diet, rocks and water."
You're close to that, Alan.
That's true.
Yeah.
But my concern is that it's very, as my mother would have said, hickledy-pickledy, in the sense of that it just is, it goes after one. But we're talking about the sugar that is in spaghetti sauce. That's not taxed.
Yeah.
You go down the candy aisle, that's not taxed. I don't understand why going to that to one item if you're not going to cover an entire problem.
Well, because of who drinks it. I mean, kids go flocking after school into 7-Elevens and ordering those big, giant containers. I don't think it's a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe all the rest should be taxed as well. But let's start with this one, which is an
it's
easy
killing
target.
People.
Yeah,
we have this epidemic. Sandra writes, "My dietitian said everything in moderation."
Right.
Oh, no, that's Stephen, actually. "My dietitian said everything in moderation." Well, not only does your dietitian said it, but Aristotle said it a while before. And Roselle has been shaking her finger at me every day on that.
So there's a woman who posted this. Again, this is going back to the Philadelphia tax, but she bought a six-pack of Propel water, which berry flavored, but it has sugar in it. But it's water. It's basically vitamin water that she uses when she works out. $5.99 for the six-pack. $3.04 for the Philadelphia beverage tax. 72 cents for regular tax. $9.75 for a six-pack.
Wow,
of
that's
water.
A lot of money.
I mean, isn't that? Perhaps.
Turn on your tap.
Right. Yeah, going a little bit overboard.
For something that used to be a dime.
Well, who was it?
Pepsi Cola.
The comedian would said, George Carlson.
Carlin.
Carlin, yes, we'll get this right eventually. And he's the one who said, "When did we get so thirsty? Walking around these bottles of water. What is that?"
And Lisa says, I'm with you, Rosemary. I've been eating bagels every day since the election." I get it. There's a metaphor, deep, deep meaning to that. "I've been eating bagels every day since the election. But health care might get real expensive, so we better get control." Lisa from Montgomery.
Good point, Lisa.
I missed the bagel connection, but I like bagels, too.
Well, no, okay. So you know you're not supposed to eat a bagel. Bagels are 300, 400 calories,
yeah,
right?
It's basically in Weight Watchers, you eat that, and that's it for the day.
What she's saying is after the election, I started to eat bagels.
Yeah, women have this need, especially women have this need to eat to compensate for emotional trauma.
And Christopher says, how about no more sugar subsidies?
That'd be a good idea.
Well, you know, to Joe's point, if they start widening the targets for sugar products in other, you know, spaghetti sauce, for example, will it not come a time when the sugar lobby or the manufacturers start protesting and trying to take the government to court?
Huh.
Why are the soda people being you answered, I think, why the soda people are being singled out, but wouldn't it be expected that the soda people would go to court to say why?
Well, Bloomberg lost that argument in court, right?
I believe he did.
Yes.
Because they were being singled out.
And Kevin says, maybe you guys could devote some time in your last half hour next week to the various marches next weekend. And maybe to the posts I am seeing on Facebook about safety and the threats of violence. That's right. You know, Washington, New York, and all over the place, there are going to be these major marches next week. We've talked about them before. And I'm fascinated. Let's say you got a million people out there in Washington, or a million people.
They're expecting 175,000 at this point.
Have signed up.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but we don't know how many people are actually going to come out. But let's say it's a million. Let's say it's a million in New York, which starts at, I believe, at Herald Square and goes up to Fifth Avenue. What do you expect? I mean, will that make a difference in the body politic?
I don't expect there's going to be violence unless some agitators try to.
Well, there's always an idiot.
Yeah, but I think the idea. Rosemary knows a lot more about this than I do. It's really just a show of force. It's just a show of numbers.
Yeah,
but
what's the import?
What's the import?
In other words, like, will this change anything? I think it will. I think, you know, you're not going to get over the idea. But if you go home the next day and you don't do any more, then what does it mean?
Yeah.
That is always the history of protests. They mean something and they matter if they're part of a bigger, more concentrated movement. The anti-war marches in Vietnam had effect because you also had demonstrations on campuses and you also had people fighting in Congress and every other place that it was possible to fight. And this is, it's a call to action that we have to pay attention for the next 4 years. We're definitely under assault as women.
Well, in the case of Vietnam and the civil rights marches.
Civil rights marches,
made big
right.
differences. I mean, those marches made big differences in terms of
not alone, though, Ellen.
No,
it wasn't
that's
simply
correct.
The
no, that's
yeah.
right. But they, as a part of a movement, they made big differences. The downside is, what if I'm really, really, really angry and I go on the march and I hold up a sign and say, my body is mine, or, you know, or or whatever, whatever. And does it expiate the anger that I have? And allows me to go home feeling I've done my part and I'm not angry anymore. That's the question.
10 seconds. Go ahead.
I don't sense anger in the women that I know who are marching. I sense fear and concern and a recommitment to civic action.
Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Ira Fussville, thank you very much. We'll continue the program after the short break.